We are beginning this week with Parshas Ki Teitzeh. We're going to jump into Perek Chaf Beis. We're going to look at a number of the psukim, which deal with very fascinating mitzvos. There's a lot of beautiful wisdom that comes from this week's Torah portion. So let's begin source number 6, apparently. I apologize for the misnumbering. So we're going to jump into source number 6. It's like every Masechta in Shas doesn't have a Daf Aleph. You will never find Daf Aleph. You already jump into Daf Beis. So in my source sheet, you jump right into source number 6, okay? The Torah tells you as follows. Lo siret shor achicha o et zayon edachim, visalamta mehem. You shall not see your brother's ox or sheep straying and ignore them. Hashev tishivim la'achicha. Rather, you shall return them to your brother. So if you see an animal that's straying on the way, you don't turn a blind eye, but instead you go and help your friend recover the lost property. Let's say your brother is not close to you, and he doesn't know that he even lost anything to begin with. So you take that item, the animal, bring it into your house. You wait until your brother comes to claim his lost property, and then you return it to him. It doesn't just speak of an ox or a sheep, but you have to do the same thing for the donkey, or for a lost piece of clothing. Anything your brother might have lost, that you find, you are not able to ignore it, but you have to return it. So these three psukim serve the basis for which mitzvah? The mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. You have to return a lost object. But the Torah could have been more concise over here. How many examples does the Torah give us? The Torah speaks of returning a lost ox or a sheep, and the same thing for a donkey, and for a piece of clothing, and for anything you have to return. You have to return it. You're not allowed to ignore what you see. Exactly. The last part, when the Torah says you should return a lost object, would have covered everything. And in fact, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Torah, really parses each and every part of these set of psukim, telling us what we learn from this item, what we learn from that item. But definitely take note of the fact that these psukim are wordy, to say the least. But let's sort of look at like a 30,000 feet view right now. We're flying high in the sky. There's no turbulence. It's nice and peaceful. Let's try to understand what is the overarching meaning of the mitzvah. Rabbeinu Bachya in source number 7 says something really beautiful. He writes as follows. Hashev tashivim lachicha. Titzaveh haTorah sheniyeh zehirim b'hashavas aveda lebailim. The Torah is making a point that we need to be very, very careful to return lost items to our brethren. Umi kefel ha-hashava. What does the word kefel mean?
Double,
right? From the double language, the fact that Torah says, hashev tishivim, that you must surely return. So from that language, darshu abu sinuzal, afilu meyapamim, even 100 times. You shall surely return, meaning the individual is a little clumsy, and he's a little absent-minded, and he always forgets to close the door to his the corral or the pen or whatever else you store the animals. And every morning you wake up and little old Betsy is in your farm. At a certain point, you're going to be inclined to say, forget about it, I'm just going to keep her. But the answer is no. Hashev tashivim. The emphasis is placed afilu meyapamim. But then Rabbi Nebachia takes even deeper. He writes as follows, the bolder words in the source. This mitzvah is really meant to train us to be kind and merciful people. Lilamed shekulanu am echad. We are all one nation. Ru'uyim shielanu av echad. And we should feel like we have one joint father. In other words, it's one thing to see a random person's property be lost. Okay, you want to be a good Samaritan, you want to be a good citizen, you'll bend down, you'll pick it up. But if you know that the wallet that was dropped belongs to your brother, if you would see a wallet on the floor, you pick it up, you look for the driver's license, and you see that it's your brother's driver's license. So for sure, what are you going to do? For sure you're going to return it. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says that's the purpose of this mitzvah. And if you see, there's a theme in the words. The word achicha appears in every single one of these three psukim. In fact, it appears more than one time in the first pasuk. It appears twice in the second pasuk. And it appears a single time in the third pasuk. So in the span of five psukim, we have the word achicha, I'm sorry, in the span of three psukim, we have the word achicha appearing five times. So Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar is sensitive to that. And he's saying you have to feel like the property of a fellow Jew is the property of your brother. Shekulanu av echad. We have one father. V'sheyirtze kol echad b'so'elas chaveiro. And you really want your friend, your brother, to benefit, just like you would want your real blood brother to benefit. V'sheyichma l'amamono. You have to have mercy on a fellow Jew's money, their resources. Uben shetehe aveda balchai. It doesn't make a difference if the lost object is a living, breathing animal. Ben shelote balchai. It doesn't make a difference. Chayev hula chazira l'reshuso. You're obligated to return it. V'zeh she'amar. And this is the point that the Torah sort of hammers home when it says, v'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro. You have to return the donkey. Shehu bal chayu behema tmeya. It's true. It's an animal, but it's not a kosher animal. So you might say to yourself, "Well, hey, the Jew, my buddy, he's not going to really miss it because he can't shecht it. So maybe you'd be inclined to turn away, but you must." V'chein tasel l'simlaso. You have to return the piece of clothing. Af al pi she'eino chashav kibal chayu, even though it's not as significant as an animal. V'chein tasel l'chol avida sachicha. Mishar kelim apapi she'enan chashuvin kisimla lo suchali salim shol tachziru liyado. The bottom line is, no matter what it is, you have to return it. Yes. So the Gemara is clear that the mitzvah of hashavas aveda is only for a Jew. However, if you see a non-Jew's piece of property, it might not be strictly under the confines of hashavas aveda, but it's certainly under the confines of kiddush Hashem. Yeah, exactly. Darche Shalom. But Darche Shalom already has somewhat of a pejorative connotation. Rabbi Reiner said Darche Shalom. Darche Shalom, you get the sense that you have to do something to keep the peace. You don't want the non-Jews slaughtering us. But I would say there's even greater an opportunity. It's not just a negative to avoid their wrath, but it's even in the positive you have an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. So that's a wonderful opportunity. Certainly if you find a wallet and you return it with all the money inside, so that's a real opportunity to sanctify God's name.
And of course, if you lose your wallet and the guy finds it, you'd like them to return it.
Yeah, you want a certain amount of reciprocity. Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely correct. Then Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says this wonderful one-liner. It's actually two lines in the source sheet. You know what he says? Hashava Saveda is a remez to another concept. It's a remez to Techiyas HaMeisim. Because in the end of the days, Hashem will also return our souls to our bodies. Right? So Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar in source number 7, paragraph number 2. V'im taskil od b'mitzvas hashavas aveda. If you think further about the mitzvah hashavas aveda, timtza, you will see, ki yesh ba remez v'sorus l'inyan techiyas hamesim. That there is a hint here to the concept of the resurrection of the dead, she'akadosh baruch hu machzir aveda lebailov ba'achir sayamim. Because we know, we believe that Hashem will return the lost item to its owner at the end of the days. She'yashuv kol echad legoralo harishon. Everyone will go back to their original allotment, for lack of a more precise translation. So it's a beautiful idea. We've got Hashavas Aveda that we do, but we also know that that alludes to the fact that Hashem will be machzir our neshamos when the Messiah comes and we have the ultimate redemption. Beautiful. In the next source, which is source number 2, I must have gotten confused. I did a little bit cut and pasting, and I apologize. I was actually held up in a meeting until just a moment or two before the shiur, so I apologize again for the numbering. Anyways, the Alshech in source number 2 writes as follows. Before we look at inside, let me share with you a little bit about what he says. he focuses on all of the details that are listed here. You have the sheep and the ox and the donkey and the clothing and the this and that. And as Chazan Singer said before, the Torah could have just said, Cholei Beidas Achicha, everything, don't ignore and return. So what do we see from the really abundance, I would say, of details in the Psukim? So says the Al-Sheikh something really beautiful. He says the Torah is telling us that when a person starts to do a mitzvah, they get so engrossed in the mitzvah and so inspired by the experience that they're just looking to do more and more in the realm of that mitzvah. So the Al-Sheikh writes that at first, what's going to really catch your attention? You're walking on the way and you see, wow, an ox. You see an ox that you know that ox belongs to your neighbor. You got out last night. It's a very brazen ox. And he got out. And you know that. So what are you going to do? Of course, you're going to return it. But after you're involved in the midst of Hashava Saveda, so Hashem is already alluding to the fact that once you turn yourself onto the mitzvah, you're going to start noticing other items that you might not have been so savvy to. So before you know it, the donkey. Oh my gosh, this is my friend's donkey. I have to go and return it. And then before you know it, not only will you be noticing the oxen and the donkeys, you're going to be seeing the clothing that you before didn't even notice. But now it's like everywhere around you there are clothing. I always have this experience when we lease a new car. I say it like we do so periodically. I think we have one new lease, but anyways, we lease a new car, suddenly everyone's driving your car. You know, I remember we got our Honda Accord, I just look around and everybody drives a Honda Accord. So it's a similar way, obviously in a more kadosh fashion over here, when a person trains themselves to do a mitzvah, so before you know it, the mitzvah opportunity surrounds you everywhere you go. Writes the Al-Sheikh in source number 2, V'hinei ad ko asisa ha-mitzvah be-behema tahora. Originally, you did the mitzvah with a kosher animal like an ox or a sheep. Shelo yeira be'necha be'amor ki nosaf al hasheva saveda gam yichmu racham al behema tahora li tapol bahen bal yisharu nidachim. Besides the fact that you want to be a good Samaritan and return the animal to its owner, also you feel bad for the animal, it's lost, who's going to feed it, so you're inclined to get involved. Ach, ata with an ayah, meaning now, achar shehechalos lasos mitzvah bitahorim, once you have begun to do the mitzvah with kosher, pure animals, muftachani b'cha, Hashem is saying, I promise you, right, what's muftach, right, what's a haftacha? A promise. So Hashem is saying, I promise you, Shevichein Tasa Lechamoro. Your eyes will be opened, and you're not just going to see the kosher, pure animals, but you also see Im Shehi Behema Tameya, even with the non-kosher animals. Next paragraph, V'adayin Efshar Shiei Ratzon Tov B'mitzvah L'mashu Balchai Mishum Tsar Balichayim. Okay, so you're drawn to the mitzvah because you don't want the animal to suffer. Ach mizeh yimashich lecha shevichin taaseh l'sim laso. But you will be drawn, mashoch, you'll be drawn to see the other mitzvah opportunities, irrespective of the suffering of the animal, which already draws you in. But this is another mitzvah opportunity. V'acharei sheshlosha sheshashalta b'mitzvah. Once you've already become so entrenched with the mitzvah, you see the kosher animals, you see the non-kosher animals, you see the clothing, me'az dalecha, you should know, shekol kach tia mushrash umeluma b'mitzvah, shemi'atzmecha lo sucha li'salim. You will become so entrenched with this mitzvah that the result will be lo sucha li'salim, that you won't be able to close your eyes. The Torah, let me rephrase that, the Al-Sheikh is telling us something unbelievable. Because if you would read the Pasuk as we did originally, you look back in the first source, which is number 6, it's like a little confusing. You look back, it's like when they put the Dam on the Mizbeach. It's like 1 that's 2, 2 that's 4, so 6 is really 1. Okay, anyways, when you look back at that first source, what does it say at the very end? Lo suchali salim. So how did we originally translate that? That the Ribbono Shel Olam through Moshe is giving you a zetz and saying you can't ignore it. Do the mitzvah. But the Al-Sheikh is saying very different. The Al-Sheikh is saying that you're going to become, exactly, you're going to become so entrenched in the mitzvah, Lo suchal lisalim, that you won't be able to close your eyes because you're going to be so in love and so engrossed in the mitzvah that you're doing.
Isn't that the same thing as mitzvah
gororis? Absolutely. Beautiful. Yes, mitzvah gororis mitzvah. Absolutely. But over here, we're reading into the pasuk, which is such a beautiful idea. Lo suchal lisalim. You can't close your eyes. You can't resist the mitzvah opportunity. And that's because of mitzvah goreis mitzvah, and that is the idea that the Al Sheikh brings for us in this week's parsha. Yeah, yeah. And then just to finish off, after the bolder words, Shafilu yulecha asakim rabim, even you have many different things on your plate, otia zakein ve'ino lefi chvodcha, or you're an elderly man, and it's, you know, pasnish for you to bend down and pick up such an object, lo somar patarani. Don't say, I am exempt. Kol kach tiha mitzvah chaviva benecha. The mitzvah should be so beloved in your eyes. Shelo sucha lisalim me'atzmecha v'ta'asena. The mitzvah will be so beloved in your eyes that you can't close your eyes from it. You're so in love with that mitzvah, you're going to want to do it under every circumstance. That's just a magnificent insight from the Al Sheikh. And I love it because it's a different read of the pasuk. Same words, but now it's not Hashem telling us, don't close your eyes. It's the allusion to the fact that you won't be able to close your eyes. It's a geschmack insight from the Al Sheikh. Beautiful. Now let's move on to one last idea that I think Rabbi Reiner is really going to love. I say that because it's a Chassidish Torah. It's over the summer when we learned the Pirkei Avos, we had the opportunity to learn the insights of the Kuznetzer. So this is Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim is not usually a Chassidish Rebbe, but in this case, he adds, this is a beautiful allusion. The Or HaChaim is a very interesting commentary on the Torah, which weaves together drash and psad and remez and sod. It's eclectic, I would say, in his approach. So over here, he's using remez. He's using the psukim to hint to something deeper. So here's what he basically says. You know what Hashava Saveda is? What's the mitzvah all about? Really, Hashem is telling us that we have to return Jews back to their heritage. Hashava Saveda is not about the ox and the donkey and the pieces of clothing, but really, the mitzvah is about bringing Jews back to their source, back to the Torah, back to Torah and mitzvos, and leading a life of a Jew. Let me show you just a couple of snippets. He actually reads through every prat, every detail in the pasuk, and shows you how this is allusion. The donkey is an allusion to this, and this and that. But let me just share with you one or two paragraphs. That's the last source in the first page. Lo sired shor. So parshas zu ba liramos bepratut chiyuv hatochachos. This parsha is coming l'ramos. What does that mean? To hint, to highlight, but specifically the obligation to rebuke, but not in the negative way of, you know, screaming and yelling on the rooftops, but really in the sense of bringing people back, the obligation that we, those of us who Baruch Hashem know about Torah and mitzvos, have an obligation to do with others. So let me just show you the way he weaves it together in one particular instance. Ve'amro v'im lo karov achicha. So if you look back in the psukim that we read, in that pasuk that is in the middle, where you find an ox or a sheep, right? You have to return it. V'im lo karov ele achicha elacha. If your brother is not close to you, v'lo yadat, he doesn't know. V'asafto el toch beisacha. You have to bring it to your house. So the simple pshat, again, you find a sheep or an ox. Your brother doesn't know about it, so he doesn't even know to come find it. You bring the sheep or the ox into your house, and you wait for him to come. Says the Or HaChaim, that's not what it means. Says the Or HaChaim, you know what it means? It means if you see your brother, v'lo karov achicha, he's not close to Judaism, v'yasafta el toch beisacha, means bring him to the Beis Medrash. Bring him into your home of Torah. Show him the light of what you experience, and that will transform his life. Writes the Or HaChaim in the last paragraph on the page, Bazeh ha'ir kihu medaber alzman galus achron. The Torah is hinting, alluding to the final exile that we are currently in. Kilo karov. It's not close, meaning it's going to be a long exile. So that's the first allusion from the word Zimlo Karov. If it's not close, alluding to the final exile where the Messiah was not originally close. We hope that we're close to the end of the exile, but originally we knew it was going to be long. Kederech Omro, as the Pasuk says, Ashurenu Velo Karov. That's a reference to whose prophecy? Who says that? Ashurenu Velo Karov. Extra points on the test. Someone said that with prophetic. What?
I'm saying Kikarov Adovah.
No. But here, this is the language that Bilam uses. Ashurenu Velo Karov. I see it, but it's not close. In fact, if you look in the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam tells us that there are a number of allusions to Mashiach in the Torah. The prophecy of Bilam is one of the primary places that the Rambam points to prove that there will be a Mashiach. And he uses this similar drasha, Ashurenu Velo Karov. I see it, but it's not close. Darach, Kochav, Miyakov, something along those lines. And he talks about David HaMelech and also Melech HaMashiach. So these are very important psukim. The bottom line is, we know already from Bilam and other sources that the last exile, it's going to be a long one. Od lo velo yadato. And he doesn't know. That we find Jews who don't know. Again, that's the language the Pasuk uses. Velo yadato. He doesn't know. It's not just that he doesn't know about his sheep or an ox. He himself does not know. Shinisatem haketz ve'in yodea masai ketz. Haflaos, like, when will this end? Vizei yisovev harchakas halavavos me'amuna. So actually, I read it a little bit incorrectly. What the Orach Chaim is saying is that we are in a long exile. V'lo yadata, we don't know when it's going to end. So nobody knows how long we're in this for. And that will cause harchakos halavavos me'amuna, that people will distance themselves from faith. V'netuye regel, and people will sort of go off the path. Kaashir einenu ra'os bedoros halalu, as we see in our generation. Im kozeh yitzav Hashem, even though people will feel schlepped on and will lose their emuna because of the length of the exile, and that will also cause people who just simply don't know. So Hashem commands us, v'yasaf del toch beisecha. That's the pasuk. And what does that mean? Zeh beis hamedrash. It's a reference to the study halls. V'yelamdehu orchos chayim v'derech yishkon or levalyata meni orach v'lo yimtzu oiva b'machshavos v'ta'anos chuzvos ki or Torah tatiluhu. Says the Orach Chaim, you bring the lost Jews to the Beis Medrash, so the or of Torah will bring them back. V'zeh yeh ash yisratehu Hashem v'yidrashuhu. And that will be until Hashem seeks them out. V'hu omro ad rosh achicha, so until Hashem seeks them out. V'hashevoso lo perush male alav akasav kiluhu meshivo meni oved. Basically, without getting into too much detail, the Orach Chaim is saying, like, you'll get the credit. That the person we brought into the Beis Medrash, and he'll be with you, ad rosh achicha, until Hashem seeks him out. V'hashevoso lo, and then it's like you're returning this person to God. Like, you got the credit for returning this Aveda. So it's an unbelievable insight over here, the obligation that we have to reach out to our brethren who are otherwise not knowledgeable with the beauty of Torah mitzvos, v'yasaf del toch beisecha, bring them into your house, ad rosh achicha oto, until Hashem finds them there, v'hashevos alo, and it's like you return them to God. You get the credit for returning these souls back to the right place. A beautiful idea, certainly a good reminder of the obligation we all have to reach out. Specifically, this time of year, we all have so many neighbors that are unaffiliated, they're not otherwise going to shul. We should be bringing them to our shul and showing them the warmth of our community.
I think it's a lost generation.
I don't agree. Just come on Thursday nights, you would see. It's not a lost generation. It's not. It's not.
Even to the gym. It's a very disheartening situation. Well, I mean, I don't say give up on it, but it's difficult.
I don't disagree about it being difficult, but we should never give up. Never, you never know. You plant the seeds, you let them know. You never know when something is going to click. You never know. Okay, so let's move on now to the next group of psukim. The Torah, in between the first set of psukim and what we're going to look at right now, the Torah talks also about helping your neighbor, if his animal is sort of laden with all these packages and he's falling down, you have to help him up. So now let's move into another area related to animals, but not related to helping your friend and returning the lost objects. Let's look at a well-known group of two psukim. Ki karei kan tzipor lefanecha baderech. If you find a bird's nest on the way, b'chol etz o al ha'aretz, you find it on a tree or on the land, efrochim o veitzim, you see little fledglings, little chickalach, or eggs, v'ha'im rovetzes al ha'efrochim o al ha'beitzim, and the mother bird is standing there over her fledglings, over the eggs, lo sika ha'im al ha'banim, you're not allowed to take the mother and the bird at the same time. The English translation says, you shall not take the mother upon the young. It means you should not, certainly the way we think about it, you're not allowed to take the eggs or the chicks while the mother is still there. And that's informed by the next verse, shaleach tishalach es ha'im, you should send away the mother bird, v'yas ha'banim tikach lach, and take the egg, the children for yourself, l'man yitav lach, v'harach diyamim, so it'll be good for you, and you will have a length of days. This is one of two or so mitzvos, there are one or two more, but the two most famous mitzvos, where the Torah tells us, you do this mitzvah, you get arichas yamim, you get long days. Now what are those two mitzvos? So we're over here. Good. So we have Shiluach HaKein and also the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim. Those are two mitzvos where the Torah tells us, you do these mitzvos, you get a long life. In fact, the commentaries point out that God specifically throws in the reward in both of these cases to throw us off. Because the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim can be a very, very difficult mitzvah to perform. And shooing away a mother bird is like no big deal at all. And when it comes to a very difficult mitzvah, and when it comes to a very easy mitzvah, we seemingly have the same reward. At least that's based on the language of the Torah. So the Mefarshim explained that the Torah is trying to show us we don't know what's more valuable, what's less valuable. We ultimately have to do every mitzvah, if it's written in the Torah, no matter what the schar might be. I've shared with you a beautiful parable. I'll just repeat it very quickly when we learn Pirkei Avos, because also the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Habe zayir b'mitzvah kala kibichamura. We have to be equally as careful with the lighter mitzvos as we are with the heavier mitzvos. The truth is, when it comes to negative commandments, we do have a sense of what's heavy and light, because we know, based on the punishment, if something has a punishment of death, that's obviously a heavy, severe mitzvah. Other infractions don't carry that same level. But the bottom line is, we have to be careful with everything. So what's the mashal? The mashal that I shared with you a little while ago, I think already it was a year or two ago, the mashal is of a king who tells his gardeners that they will be paid the same amount and they need to, you know, make a beautiful garden, or he tells the workers to go collect the fruits, and he doesn't tell everybody what they're being paid for what they collect and what they work on. Everybody has to go and do it. And at the end, so he gives different wages to different people. So they ask the king, well, why don't you tell us originally what was going to be lucrative to be involved with and what was not going to be lucrative? And the king said, had I told you the wages in advance, so everybody would have pruned and worked on the lucrative trees and would have left everything else fallow, and my garden would not look the way it's supposed to look. So Hashem wants us to be involved in all the mitzvot. So if he tells us in advance what it is that we get the schar for and what might not carry the same amount of schar, so some of the vegetation will look beautiful and some won't, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a complete package. Okay, so we don't know the schar. We have two insights right over here, case of Shiluach HaKein and Kibbutz Avim. But beyond that, we are generally unaware of what we get, what reward we get for doing the mitzvos. But let's sort of zero in, Shiluach HaKein. What's the reasoning? What's the rationale for this mitzvah? Why does the Torah tell us that we're not allowed to take the mother bird and the eggs at the same time? If we want the eggs, we have to shoo away the mother bird. What's the significance of such a mitzvah?
Rachmanis.
Rachmanis. In what sense? Why is it Rachmanis?
Even a bird, a mother bird, has a familial maternal feeling.
Instinct. Good. Beautiful. So we're going to see the Ramban focuses on that based on the Rambam. But I want to show you the Rashbam first. Rashbam, the next source on the page, mentions what you said, doctor, but he also mentions another idea. He really puts two ideas together that are quite different from one another. Look at what Rashbam writes. Lo tikachim al banim, don't take the mother at the same time as the children. Lefi derech eretz, So let's just break down that sentence. Lefi derech eretz is one idea. The second idea is lisoshovas haminim, like yishov. Everything should be settled correctly. What are those two different ideas? What's the derech eretz component, and what's the teshuvas haminim component?
Save the species.
Ah, very good. So derech eretz, I think, is what you were referring to before. Derech eretz means it's not appropriate to make an animal washed as its offspring is taken away. Clearly, animals don't have the same level of intellect that we have, but they have these instincts. And it's not derech eretz to subject the animals to pain, this instinctual pain that they would have seeing their offspring being taken away.
If you see a lion protect its cubs,
right.
I mean, I've seen it on safari.
Right. I've seen it on TV. So yeah. It's pretty much the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just...
No, it's different.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a very, very strong connection. Absolutely. So I'm just trying to point out to you, if you read the Rashbam too quickly, you will lose the appreciation that there are two ideas mentioned here. The first idea is derech eretz. It's not appropriate to subject animals to unnecessary pain. Hashem has given us the animals to be used for our benefit, but there's an issue of tzar balei chayim, and we don't cause unnecessary pain. So point number one, derech eretz, good. Second point, l'seshuvas haminim, means that Hashem has given us this world of dola shamra. We are given the world to guard and to watch. Part of that is to ensure that species don't become extinct. This is not some sort of environmentalist agenda. This is what the Torah demands of us. So the way some of the other Mefarshim explain it, I think it's the Sforno, but I don't remember offhand. The way they explain it is that if you, in the same day, take the mother and the eggs, so like on a microscopic level, you have wiped away a species. It's a family line, the mother and the children. So part of our mission to guard this world and to protect the gifts that Hashem gives us is to protect the species. And if you take the mother and her children on the same day, it's like you're destroying a species on some level, on a microscopic level, and that's not acceptable. And the Rashbam points our attention to actually two other mitzvos in the Torah that seem to hammer home at the same point. Any guesses in the crowd? What other mitzvos make this same point that it's not derech eretz, and we must guard this species to make sure that there's a continuity so that the world can continue?
To slaughter an animal.
Oh, good.
Its mother.
Good, very good. So number one, it's Osov Yasbino Losish Chetubi Yomechad, what it's a Shoro Kesev, something along those lines, I forget the exact language, but the Isser is Losish Chetubi Yomechad, you cannot slaughter a mother and a child on the same day.
That's not for the species, because you're going to slaughter them anyway.
No, but again, it's the same thing in the case of the bird and the eggs. You're not destroying the species, but when you wipe out two generations in one family of one day, it's a microcosm of wiping out the species, not acceptable. There's also an additional mitzvah that you're not as intuitive. Writes the Rashbam, you know what other mitzvah alludes to this topic? Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Sort of using two generations at one time, the milk and the offspring, just is not right. It's cruel to cook a cub in its mother's milk. And also, it like smacks of this idea of wiping out a species. That's what the Rashbam writes over here. Kvar perashi below sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. V'chein v'oso v'espeno. Both of those mitzvos, shedome lachzarios. First of all, it's cruel. V'ra'avasanos, like you're so starving that you can't control yourself. Like ra'iv is hungry. So you can be so starving you can't control yourself. Lakachas v'lishchot v'levasha v'lechol im ubanam yachad. It's not appropriate. Now it happens to be that there is a very important Ramban that is found right over here in Parshas Ki Tetzeh. Because the Ramban uses this pasuk of Shiluach Hakein, the mitzvah Shiluach Hakein, to go off on a tangent regarding Ta'amei HaMitzvos. He weaves together the commentary of the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, and he speaks about whether or not we are allowed to delve into the reasoning for mitzvos. Because what I just shared with you from the Rashbam and what the Rambam himself writes, you get the sense that, wow, yeah, we're really able to delve into the depths of why Hashem has commanded us. Hashem has commanded us not to be cruel, to preserve the species. You get the sense that Hashem wants us to understand the reason for the mitzvos. The problem is that there is a Mishnah Meseches Brachos that says that if a person makes a remark about the mitzvah Shluach HaKein, and he says, Yigira Chamecha, Hashem has given us this mitzvah to be merciful, so Mishtakeno, so we quiet down such an individual, that's not okay to say. So now we've got an issue. On the one hand, we get the sense from these commentaries that these mitzvahs are all about training us to be more sensitive, to be kinder, more generous people. On the other hand, the Mishnah and Brachos is telling us that if we are brazen enough to say that the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein is about being merciful, we're quiet, we're booed. So which one is it? So listen to a very, very important insight of the Ramban. He first begins by quoting the Rambam. Everybody see where it says Ramban, Devarim, Parshas Ki Teitze? Yes? Okay, I'm going to take that as a resounding yes. V'kasav, anyone need to show me, anyone want me to show them what we're up to? Everyone see? Yeah, you see it, the Ramban? Yeah, okay. Writes the Ramban, quoting from the Rambam, V'kasav harav v'moreh hanevuchim, kitam shiluach hakein, v'tam oso v'espino lo sishchetu b'yom echad. The reason for the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird and not slaughtering the mother and the child, to ensure that the child is not slaughtered in front of the mother, because animals truly have anxiety over such an instance. Like Dr. Ganshel, like you said, there is no difference to on some level regarding the concern that parents have for a child. That those instincts transcend human beings. It applies to animals as well. Ki ahavas ha'im v'chanosa livnei bitna eninu nimshach achari ha'seichel v'hadibor. The concept of being concerned and being maternal and paternal for your offspring, it's not about your rationale and your brain. That's something that's uniquely human. Aval hu mipu'ulos koach ha'machshava ha'metziyo bebehemos kashiri mitziyo ba'adam. It's something that animals can feel as well. It points out a very interesting observation. V'in kein ein ikar ha'iser v'oso v'espino rak be'vino v'oso. The truth is, if this is the thrust of the mitzvah, then the iser is not oso v'espino, meaning don't slaughter the mother and then the child. Really, the thrust of the mitzvah is don't slaughter the child and then the mother, because we don't want the mother to watch. So the way the mitzvah is phrased doesn't really speak to the Rambam's point, but okay, aval hakol harchaka, it's all meant to distance ourselves, meaning don't have the mother and the child in the same slaughter pen at the same time. This way you avoid the iser altogether. V'yoser nachon ba'avor shlo nis achazar. We should not become achzarim, we shouldn't become stubborn, cruel people. Now, listen to what the Ramban says next. The Amar Harav, says the Rambam, V'al tashiv alai mima'amar ha'chachamim. Don't ask me regarding what the rabbi said in the Gemara and Brachos. Ha'omer al kan sipur yagi rachamecha. Regarding that which the rabbis taught, that if a person says that the mitzvah Shluach HaKein is about being merciful, then that's a terrible thing. The Rambam says, don't question me based on that passage, even though it seems to go against my position, that it truly is for mercy. Kizu achas mishtei svaros, writes the Rambam that there are two divergent paths in Judaism regarding trying to understand the meaning for the commandments. Svaras misha yira'eh ki ein tam lemitzvos ela chafetz habore. One camp says there is no rationale for the mitzvos. We do them for one purpose and one purpose alone. What's that purpose? God. God says to do it, I do the mitzvah. V'anachnu, writes the Rambam, we, however, machazikim b'svara hashnia. We take a different approach. We're part of the different camp. Shiyehe b'chol ha-mitzvos tam. That there is a reason for every mitzvah. V'huksha alav od nashematza b'berishis rabba. the Rambam was also faced with another passage. You would find in the Medrash, V'chima ichpas lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben shochei min atzavar l'shochei min ha'oref. The Medrash says, what difference does it make that God tells us we should shech this way versus that way? Is there really a rationale for all of the pratim? Halo nisna hamitzos el tzarif behemes abrios. No, the truth is it doesn't make a difference, or it's not a difference to know. Hashem has told us to do things certain ways because He wants to purify us. The purity that comes from being subservient to the will of the Almighty. Shneamar kol amarta Eloha tzarufa. All the sayings of God are there litzaruf. What does litzaruf? Litzaruf mean to purify. So all of what Hashem has given us is there to help us purify ourselves. Not because there is some meaning behind it. That's for God to know, not for us to dabble in. We do the mitzvos for one reason and one reason alone, because Hashem said to do the mitzvos. But the Rambam would tell you that he doesn't subscribe to that opinion. That statement of the rabbis in the Gemara Brachos and the statement of the rabbis in the Medrash, that's not our approach. Our approach is to delve into the meaning of the mitzvos. However, when you delve into the meaning of the mitzvos, you have to have one basic belief before you start your dive. What's that one basic belief? The basic belief is, no matter if I understand it or not, no matter if the reason resonates with me or not, I'm committed to mitzvos. If you take that approach, that my commitment to the mitzvos is not contingent on my understanding of the mitzvos, then people like the Rambam and the Ramban advocate for trying to understand the rationale behind the mitzvos. Yes?
But when you have something like the Chok, like the Bar Aduma, it's very hard to understand, you know, what exactly that's all about.
Right. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech says. He tries to understand the mitzvos, but Rechokahi, it's too far for me, in particular in the realm of the Paraduma.
So
just because we're allowed to understand every mitzvah and we're encouraged to delve into the reason doesn't mean that we will find a reason for each and every mitzvah. It happens to be, even for the mitzvahs of Paraduma, there are explanations. Like if you look at Rashi in Parshas Chukas, first he says this is the paradigmatic chok, we don't understand it. But then he goes on to say that's really there, to be mechaper for chet ha'egel. So there are different levels to everything. Just to finish off on the Ramban, the last paragraph, v'zeh inyan shegazar harav b'mitzvos sheish l'tam, that which the Rambam says, that there are mitzvos that we can readily understand their reason, mevur hu me'od, is readily understood, meaning he's advocating for the Rambam's approach. Ki b'chol echa tam v'to'eles v'tikun l'adam. In each of these mitzvos, which we can really easily appreciate the rationale, there is a reason, there is a benefit, there is something that can enhance our existence. Milvad scharan me'es ha-mitzvah ben yisbarach. Putting aside the reward that we get for the mitzvos, these mitzvos also shape our character in a very profound way. So it's just interesting to note that the Rambam, and this is echoed by the Ramban, basically says there are these like two camps in Judaism. Study the reward, study the reasoning for mitzvos, stay away from it. But we take the approach that a person can study and delve into the reasoning for mitzvos as long as it is accompanied first and foremost by a commitment to do the mitzvah irrespective of understanding. Okay, let's finish off this morning's class. I think Parshas Ki Teitzei has the most mitzvos of any other parsha in the Torah, if I'm not mistaken. I remember when I was in 8th grade, in order to graduate from Yavne Academy, you had to take a test on Parshas Ki Teitzei. It was like a doozy of a test, because it had all of these mitzvos. We used to get these like thick booklets. Right, Kedoshim is a lot of mitzvos, but I think Ki Teitzei is even longer than Kedoshim in terms of the psukim and in terms of the mitzvos. So it's a beautiful parsha, chock full of mitzvos. So I kind of zeroed in on Parachav Beis in the first 8 psukim. So after we have the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, the Torah tells us about another interesting mitzvah, the second to last source in the second sheet. The Torah tells us, Ki sivne bayis chadash vasisa ma'ake legagecha, when you will build a new house and you will make a guard rail for your roof. Vilotasim damim bebeisacha, so you should not cause blood to be spilled in your house. Ki pol hanofel mimenu, that the one who falls should fall from it. So the commentaries point out that the language at the very end is very interesting. Kipol hanofel mimenu, that the one who falls should fall from it. Meaning, Hashem says, make a roof so you can avoid the one falling to fall from your roof. I think the pasuk would have been a little bit smoother had the Torah said, right, v'lo tasim damim ve'secha kasher ish nofel mimenu, when a man falls from it. What do you mean the language ki nofel, ki yipol hanofel, when the faller falls from it? Very strange language, right? Very, when the faller falls from it. You say, it sounds like you have like clumsy people walking around. He's a faller. He's going to fall from it. So what does that mean? So Rashi writes something interesting in the last source in the second page. So, ro'i zelipol. This person, Hashem has already decreed is going to fall. There is some yid out there that Hashem has already decreed is going to fall. Fall to his death, by the way. He's going to fall, he's going to die. Nonetheless, even though there's a decree out there from Shemayim,
not on my roof.
Exactly, that the person's going to fall, lo tiskalgal misaso ayadcha. You don't want to be responsible for the fall. Shemegalgalin zechus ayadei zachai, zachai v'chova ayadei chayav. Because the way it works is that the people who are meritorious also merit to have good things happen through them. But people who are in the opposite camp, who are not in God's favor, so they oftentimes are sort of chosen to carry out things which are not so good. Now, in general, we have a concept of harbe shluchim yesh lamakom. There are many messengers that work for Hashem. And this is something we're going to see in the very last source, but just to share with you outside, Hashem has a plan. And Hashem will make that plan happen one way or another, whether or not you are involved. So using this sort of the negative example over here, there is someone who has been sentenced to death. The person's meant to fall off a roof and die. Do you want to be responsible for his death? He's going to die anyways. But the Torah is saying, ki pol hanofel, when that faller falls, don't let him fall from your roof. Create an environment where you bring about merit to people, not when you bring about the opposite to people. But it's a really a Musar Haskel to take note of the fact that Hashem has a plan, and you can make a decision. Which sort of camp do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of the Zachai camp, helping Hashem bring brachos to the world, bring merit to the world? Or do you want to be part of the camp that brings the opposite to the world? Writes Rabbi Nevachia, just thinking for a moment, the Shadchan who made our shidduch for Michal and me. So we gave him a set of svarim. We asked him what he wants for his Shadchanus present. Now we were willing to fly him around the world. That's not really true, but we were happy to give him anything he wanted. Anything. We were happy to give him a present. So he said, "I'll take svarim." He said, "I don't have a Ha'amak Davar, the Netziv's commentary on the Torah that we just started to learn on Shabbos morning. I don't have that yet. I'd love a set." So we got him the set. So in the inside cover, I was very proud of what I came up with. I wrote, I said, "Dear so-and-so," he's Rabbi Binyamin Kron, he's a wonderful person, he's Rabbi Antinek, he's our Shadchan, his wife is very good friends with my wife, okay, enough of the editorial. So anyways, in the inside cover I wrote, Harbe Shluchim Mish Lamakom. There are many messengers that carry out God's plan, but I'm happy you are the shaliach for this shidduch, right? So it's we want to always be the shluchim for the good.
It's a great thing to make a
shidduch. Yeah, absolutely. So the shidduch is going to happen one way or the other, but you should be the one to get credit for that shlichus, right? For that shidduch. Okay. Right. So Ibn Bachya in the last source on the page, Valdas Hamedrish, Valsisa Makela Gagecha Ki Pol Hanofel Mimenu. When the Torah tells us you are to make a fence so that the person who falls shouldn't fall from your house. The Medrash says that this person was destined to fall from the 6 days of creation. Now, obviously, whether or not that's literal is really immaterial. The point is that Hashem has decreed from the very outset that this individual is going to die. Aval ata lo tigrom shetein misasa ayadcha. But you shouldn't be the one to bring that about. V'inyan ha-medrash hazeh, what's the meaning of this medrash? Ki chol ha-nivraim kulan nivru'u b'chafzam b'ritzonam. Everybody that is created with in God's desire and in God's will. V'akadosh baruch hu hodiyam b'reishis habriya kol inyaneyam kulam v'chol ha-mikarim ha-asidim lavo alayhem. And Hashem has already ordained what's going to happen. Not in the sense of predeterminism, not that Hashem has decided what we're each going to do, but in a bigger picture, the path that a person's going to go on, the opportunities that are going to be presented to a person, you know, that's all b'yidei shemayim. V'chein hodiyam yimei chayeyem, Hashem has already ordained how long a person's life will be, u'misasa ma'ech tiyah, and how they will pass away. V'chein inyam mizonosam im berevach, im betzar, im ayde atzmani mishel achirim. The sustenance that a person is going to be given, the resources that a person is going to be given. You know, it's all in the hands of Shemayim. V'chein darshu abasinuzal, kol maseh bereishis ledaitam nivru, letzivyonim nivru. Everything was created already in a level of with a level of perfection. V'chol tziva'am, that's what we say. V'chol tziva'am, everything was created sort of already complete. The Medrash tells us, the Gemara tells us, that the trees that were created during the 6 days of creation were created with already fruits on the trees. Everything was done with perfection. V'hakol ratzu v'kiblu, everyone accepted this. V'alzeh amru, and this is what's meant when it says, ro'u hayalipo misheshes mebereshes. Hashem created a perfect world. V'af apichein yesh onesh gadol l'mishem mesavim. But you're still held responsible if you're a party to the bad things that have to happen. So how this jives with Bechira Chavshis and all the other complicated inyanim, I'm happy to say the shir is over right now, so I can't go into all of those inyanim. Those are beyond my pay grade, perhaps. The point is, Hashem has a plan. Hashem is orchestrating things far beyond our comprehension. And our job is just to create ourselves to be conduits for bracha in this world. Conduits for more good deeds, for more blessing. That's what we have to put our focus on. And the rest is bidei shemayim. But the more we can do, such as building a fence to protect those and do the right thing, so the more we'll be zocha to bring about the bracha in this world. So that's what we'll discuss today, right now for Parshas Kitetze, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll have opportunities to learn together next week, Parshas
Kitavo.
Exactly.